When I get back to the bed and breakfast, it's only around 6 o'clock. Nevertheless, I go straight to my room, strip, pull on a raggedy t-shirt, and collapse on the bed. I feel exhausted, the way I always do after seeing my mother, and also probably from being chased down the street like a robber in a cartoon. I fall asleep for what seems like hours and am awakened by the sound of knocking on my door. I turn over and try to go back to sleep, but the knocking persists. Go away. Sky, it's Viva. Tienes visita. I get up and open the door. Visita? It's the middle of the night. It's 7:30, says Viva. Who is it?
Dice que se llama Faye.
Vicky's aunt? All I know is she called for you earlier. I put her through, but you didn't pick up. I sort of remember ignoring the faraway sound of a phone ringing. She's waiting for you in the parlor, Viva says. You might want to put on pants. Or at least underwear. When I get downstairs, Vicky's aunt is kneeling in front of the wood-burning stove, staring through the glass door at the flames. Her brow is tightly drawn, as if she's trying to solve a problem that exists deep in the flicker of the dying fire. I watch her for a few seconds until it starts to feel weird and lurky, then clear my throat. She looks up at me but doesn't say anything. Her brow is still furrowed. Finally, she sighs and says,
"Your fire's going out. The back log isn't catching."
I shrug. It's not really my fire, per se. Ignoring my indifference, she removes an iron poker from the rack of fireplace tools and opens the glass door.
"Sorry for showing up on your doorstep unannounced," she says, not looking at me. "I tried calling."
"I was working," I tell her, "on some super important stuff." She nods and reaches the poker into the fire.
"Once I talked to Vicky and sorted out what happened, I felt bad. I wanted to apologize."
"Okay," I say. I take a seat on the arm of a nearby chair and watch as she uses the little hook on the poker to try to drag one of the logs in the back to the front, where there's still flame for it to catch.
"My sister didn't want anyone to know about the eggs," she says, still looking at the fire, not at me. "She kept it a secret from everybody but her husband. She probably would have kept it from him if she could have. I didn't know about it until after she died."
"Wait. You're Cynthia's sister?"
"Yes."
I don't know why I assumed she was Vicky's paternal aunt. I do recall Cynthia having a sister a couple of years older, though I don't remember ever seeing her during my 3 summers with Cynthia at camp. She doesn't look much like her sister, who had a round face and wide, curious, friendly eyes. Faye is all cheekbones, heavy lashes, and intensity. The poker's not accomplishing the task of moving the log where she wants it, so she puts it down and picks up some large iron tongs. She uses both hands to work the tongs, grabbing the log between them and lifting it up as embers pop and spark.
"Why didn't she want anyone to know?" I ask.
"Cynthia always wanted children, even when we were just little girls ourselves. Maybe having to use someone else's eggs made her feel she'd failed in some way."
The fire suddenly gets bigger, the rogue log finally catching the flames, and we both watch it for a few moments in silence. I steal glances at her profile, see the reflection of firelight in her silver hoop earrings.
"That's my best guess. I could be all wrong. It's not something she would have talked to me about."
"You weren't close?"
She shakes her head no. A thick twist of hair falls in front of her eyes. She grasps it between her thumb and forefinger and tucks it behind her ear, super tenderly, like she's trying to be extra gentle with herself. It's the most graceful of movements.
Was she close to other people? I ask. She looks right at me now, surprised by the question.
Other people?
I mean, did she have close friends? Other close family? I didn't spend much time with her as an adult. I'm curious who she grew up to be.